Well, I unapologetically am against it.
Amen.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I haven't done it my whole life as a Christian. And there's no convictions that God gave me when I was 1 year old or 2 year old that I have gone back on. Do you understand? Now, I'm not fixing to do it now. And so it's easy to be carnal. And so we looked, just real quick review, the marks of a carnal saved people. Unceasing conflict, repeated defeat. They're not growing in the Lord, staying a baby all their life, never serving others, always about themselves. A life of barren fruitlessness, not doing nothing, not being a minister, not being a servant, not growing to be a disciple. According to James 4, a carnal life of a saved person is a life of adulterous infidelity. You whore around on the Lord. And so that's how I got into the world. And we need to remember that the world and its attitude towards God is anti-God. And so last week, I spent time here in Romans 13. Look at verse 12 with me. Bible says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. That would be a blessing, wouldn't it? What's a hypocrite? It's a liar. You are faking it. You are making people believe that which is not true. Let's walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye, hey, did y'all notice that strife and envy is in the same thing with drunkenness? And you'll damn drunkenness, but you don't have any problem with strife and contention.
Yeah.
Hypocrite.
Amen.
Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And so I spent a little bit of time last week on that. Now, what I want to do now is I want to say, if we're going to be a spiritual Christian, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, if we're going to be full of the Holy Ghost, what should our relationship to this world be? You understand what I'm saying? You know where I think you find it? I think that it's found in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian and Christ are one, joined together in a love relationship. For God so loved the world. I love Him because He first loved me. I love Him. Listen, I'm not trying to paint anything about a worldly sense of love. But most of you all know that when you are in love with somebody, you will go to lengths to do something for that somebody. Well, don't tell me you love the Lord and won't go to lengths to please Him. That's a lie. And so the Holy Ghost illustrates the relationship between Christ and the Christian as a marriage. We're His bride. He's our bridegroom. So go with me to James 4 again. James chapter 4. I think you should memorize these verses. Because when you mess with the world, you are whoring around on the Lord. It's like stepping out on your wife or your husband. I don't think there's anything more vile than that. I know people got all kinds of excuses of why they can be adulterers. But I got news for you. It's wicked. You got zero character, zero discipline, zero spirituality to whore around. You are chasing a vow. You are giving up a vow for 5 minutes of pleasure. That's real deep, isn't it? James 4. Look at verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the what?
Enemy.
The enemy of God. That is not an enemy I'd like to have.
Enemy.
No, not at all. And that is very strong language, is it not? Would you not agree with that? So do you not think that God thinks pretty much about that? You whore around on him with the world. He's not real happy with you.
Yeah.
Don't tell. It doesn't matter what you do. You can sing a song. You can preach a message. You can pass a tract. But if you're whoring around, he is not happy with you.
Yeah.
Friend of the world. Enemy of God. Spiritual adultery. When you hobnob with the world in its pleasures, you're worldly. When you enter into a partnership with the world and its pursuits. Why are you here? What's your philosophy of life? It's like I told you on Sunday. That stupid Baptist pastor said to Chad's kids, when are you going to move back to the States and get on with your life? What a donkey.
Yeah, that's right.
What a donkey. That's a worldly philosophy. Those three boys are up to their eyeballs in the work of God.
Amen.
They don't care about making money. They don't care about buying a car. They don't care about getting their own place. They want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
That's God's philosophy.
Amen.
He was full of the world's philosophy. Why? Because he's a worldly Baptist pastor. Entering into prayer. Listen, you know what a lot of saved people are eat up with? Y'all ready? You better buckle your seatbelts here. Financial security. Show me that in the Bible. No, show it to me. Show me financial security in the Bible. And I'm telling you, our generation of saved people are eat up with it. To the point that they don't live by faith. They live by the dollar bill. That's the world's philosophy. God says, trust me.
Amen.
He does own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Huh?
Amen.
He is paving the new Jerusalem with gold, right?
Amen.
Yeah. When you fashion your life by the world's principles, you're worldly.
Amen.
When you are working to carry out the world's programs, you're worldly.
Amen.
It makes us an accomplice of the evil one. The devil is for or against the Lord?
Yes.
He's against. So everything in this world that is propagated by the devil is against God.
Amen.
All this COVID stuff, they want us to live in fear. I am not living in fear of anybody but God.
Amen.
I want to fear God.
Amen.
I don't want to fear anything else.
Amen.
Anybody else.
Amen.
The world. Let's look what the Bible says about the world. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. Look at verse 19 with me. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world, what? Lieth in what?
Wickedness.
Is wickedness good or bad? Pretty bad, isn't it? Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians 1, look at verse number 4 with me. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. The Bible says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present what? According to the will of God and our Father. Okay, does not the Bible say that we should not be conformed to this world? Somebody give me the verse for that. Do you know your Bibles? Josh. Romans 12. Be not conformed. Do y'all need a Webster's dictionary to know what that means? You listen to me. You listen to me. You can just look at somebody. They got the smack of the world on them.
Yeah.
You can just listen to somebody. They got the smack of the world on them.
Amen.
You watch where they go. Got the smack of the world on them.
Amen.
I don't want the smack of the world.
Amen.
I want the touch of God.
Amen.
You're not going to have the smack of the world and the touch of God. Not going to happen. Y'all with me? Egypt, good or bad? Bad. Picture of the world. All the leeks and the garlic. So what's a good question? What is worldly? Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. Does the Bible say, come out from among them and be ye what? You know what Baptists used to preach? They used to preach the doctrine of separation. Right? They used to preach that it was an abomination for a man to wear women's clothes. And they used to preach that it was an abomination for women to wear men's clothes. Y'all with me? Listen, you women, I don't know why you would want to dress like a man. I do not want to dress like a woman.
Amen.
Have I ever tried your clothes on? Oh, this would look nice. Are you out of your mind? Had one old man, Pete, tell me, he said he was retired. He said, I used to preach. He says, those women would grab those britches. He said, they'd stick one leg in. I want to be a man. Why would you want to be a man? I got zero desire to be a woman.
Amen.
You understand that we're living in a unisex society. The men are growing the hair long and the women are butching it off. I think there's something in the Bible. This is in the Bible. I didn't hear this on the radio, did I? About the woman's hair being her glory. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Is that written to saved people or lost people? It greatly divides your book. It's written to saved people. You love this world. You love the things of this world. The love of the Father is not in you. Everything in this world, there's one main word you need to identify, the things of this world. I'm not talking about wicked. I'm not talking about evil, though it is. But everything in the world is what? Temporary.
Amen.
It's temporary.
Amen.
And everything about God is eternal. Every investment you make in this world is only going to have a temporary gain or loss.
Amen.
Every investment you make in spiritual things has eternal value.
Amen.
If we gave that $9,000 and the other churches gave the $31,000, and if for $40,000 Chad builds a church building, and let's say that there's 15 churches that are involved in that. Let's say there's 300 church people that gave to do that, and one person gets saved. One person gets saved. Is it worth it? For all time and eternity. But it doesn't sound like just one will get saved. What we need, I'm in verse number 16 now, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Amen.
We need a clear Bible standard, not just men and women's opinions.
Amen.
Worldliness. Well, what is worldliness? Well, one preacher said it this way. Worldliness is all that is not of the Father. Whatever would not be appropriate and fitting to Christ's life in the heavenlies as to the Christian's life on earth is worldly. Tim, if you wore shorts and if you wore muscle shirts or wife beaters or whatever they call those things, which lots of saved guys do, and if you wore flip-flops in public, and if you wore your ball cap on backward like you were a retard, would you like to stand before Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ dressed like that?
No,
me neither. You study that book, you get saved, you get in the sowing business. And that what you sow is what you're wearing at the judgment seat. You want to be buck naked? Just keep living worldly. Worldliness. Worldliness and carnality are linked together, guys. I have referred to it as kissing cousins. If you're carnal, you're going to be worldly. And if you're worldly, it's because you're carnal. Worldliness is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know how worldliness is manifested? I was just hitting on this. One's conversation, the way you live. Look at me. I don't think it's ever right for you to be a slob in public or when you host somebody in your home. And I don't care what the standards are where you work or where you go here or go there. I think you ought to have higher standards than that. I don't think you should be a slob. Walked into the bank one day, and I'm thinking, these women, what is with these women? And I said, what's going on here? Because they were all dressed. I thought they were dressed like slobs. But you know what they told me? It's casual day. So I got their T-shirts and their blue jeans on and stuff like that. Well, that's how they want to go to church. You have a casual attitude about the way you're dressed. You're going to be casual about how you go to church. You'll be casual about the preaching. You'll be casual about how you live your life. No, I'm not for that at all. Your conversation. Worldliness may be manifested in your hairstyle. Have you all just noticed this? I've just noticed this. Okay? A lot of people that I cross paths with in public, male and female, got part of their head shaved right down, like Brother Daniel. Part. And then the other part is long. Is there some kind of Hollywood whore or whoremonger that's doing that, or some ball player? Or it doesn't even look right. And then, you know, some women, it looks like women that they wet their hair, they get in their car, they get the car up to 60 miles an hour, they stick their head out for 5 miles, so the hair's like this, then they buy themselves 2 cans of Super Hold hairspray and spray it, that a hurricane couldn't move that mess. Yeah. Right. Hairstyles. Wow. Your hairstyle can say that you're worldly. Your clothes. Your clothes. The companions that you keep. The pleasures that you enjoy. The books that you read. The music you play. The music you listen to. The appetites that you indulge. The things that you buy. Your ambitions when they are ruled by the world. Shows that you're worldly. So anything that feeds or pampers our flesh is worldly. And the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh. Amen. So we saw that worldliness is in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So lust of the flesh. One preacher said it this way. Anything that stains the hearts, soils the hands, stings the conscience, and separates one from the joy and sweetness of their communion with the Lord Jesus Christ is worldliness and the lust of the flesh. Number two, anything that caters merely to the fashions of this world. That stimulates desires for possession and property. That keeps the eyes fixed on the earthly rather than the heavenly. Is the lust of the eyes. And that's worldly. Number three, anything that exalts self. Fosters pride. sets your affections on wealth or fame or honors on earth rather than setting treasures up in heaven is the pride of life. And that's worldly. I want to ask you something. You believe the Lord's coming back?
Amen.
When? When? You know, most people believe he's coming back. I walked into a store today and there was an older lady. Now, for me to say older, you know she's old. There's an older lady and I'm walking by her and she's working there. And she says, hi, how are you today? And I said, I am better than I deserve because of the grace of God. And I said, I'm listening for a very loud trumpet sound. And she goes, amen, so am I. But I couldn't tell she was a Christian till she said that. So most people think that the Lord's coming back. How do you want to be found when he's coming back? We're in 1 John. You should be in 1 John. Look at chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. When he comes back, you want to be clean?
Amen.
I want to be clean. When he comes back, do you want to be holy?
Amen.
I want to be holy. I want to be clean. I want to be holy. I want to be in the will of God.
Amen.
I want to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing when I'm supposed to be doing it.
Amen.
Amen. 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, behold, I'm in chapter 3, 1 John. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner is that? It's that Christ would go to Calvary and die for us. That he'd suffer the shame and reproach and humiliation for us. He'd suffer the agony going to hell for us. Where's our appreciation, our thankfulness for that? So he says, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, what's the next two words? Purifieth what? Most Baptists won't take it from the preacher. Let alone do it themselves.
Amen.
You see, guys, we have such a shallow Christianity. People want a list that they can check off the list. That if they do the things that check off the list, that makes them spiritual, or that makes them holy, or that makes them this, or that makes them that. You got the Holy Ghost inside of you. You're supposed to have a walk with the Lord. Why is it that you can do things that I could never be allowed to do by God? You sear consciences. A saved person can do anything a lost person does. Get carnal enough? Things you watch, things you read, things that you say, subjects you talk about. That doesn't grieve the Holy Ghost that's inside of you? Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. People talk about, oh, you're just a legalist. I have been preaching like this for 40 years. Legalist? Well, like Brother Jack would say, what are you, an illegalist? I thought our heart's cry was, Lord, teach me your way. Why would we want to go the world's way? Why would we want anything to do with this world except to preach the gospel to them and try to rescue the perishing? We say we want the Lord to come back. We say we're looking for him to come back. And yet in our lives, we're not practicing that. Worldliness. And then my last point on the carnal life, the characteristic of a carnal life, is a life of dishonoring hypocrisy. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 8 with me. You know, vacation is an excuse. You can do things that you wouldn't normally do. Watch things you wouldn't normally watch. You know, you hear comments like this. Well, I'm glad the preacher's not here. Why would you say something like that? You've got no walk with God. If the only thing holding you back from doing something is my presence there, you're pretty shallow. Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of what?
Light.
And yet you see so many saved people walking as children of what? Darkness. I'd say it's sort of hypocritical if you're a child of light to walk as a child of darkness.
Right.
Go with me to 1 John if you would. 1 John again, chapter 1 this time. When I was pastoring that first church in Newport, when we started out, we had a little storefront, smaller than the storefront that we had. And we saw a bunch of people get saved. I say a bunch of people. We saw probably 12, 15, maybe 20 people get saved in the few years that we were there. Then we started meeting in a Grange Hall on Sundays. And on Wednesdays, we met in Jay Trout's basement. And in that Grange Hall, we saw a bunch of people. The twin girls got saved there. George got saved there. There's just a bunch of people got saved in that Grange Hall. It was pretty neat. And I had a preacher in, and I was praying with him. And he had been with us for a week. And I said to him, I said, man, we're praying for a revival. He said, son. He said, you're having revival right now. I said, what do you mean? I was young. He said, look at the people God's saving. He said, these people, have they been growing in the Lord? I said, oh, yeah. He said, son, the Lord's presence is in the church. He said, I don't know what you're looking for in revival, but when God is saving people and people are growing in the Lord and God is adding people to the church, he says, you're in revival. He said, when people are putting things off and putting things on, that's revival. Sort of opened my eyes to some things. We went up to New York, and it was like starting all over again. Had a few families to help. And, buddy, the Holy Ghost met with us in that pole barn like he had never met with us down there in Newport. I can remember Chip coming up to me one time after service, and then the Lord just blew the doors off. And Chip came up to me, and he goes, I have never been in a service like this. And I said, well, I haven't been in a whole lot of them. Well, how do you get that? Every one of you need to want it. And if you don't want it, well, it ain't coming. I mean, what did you pray when you came to church? Or did you just go through emotion? When you're at home and going through your devotions and go through your prayer, what do you really want? I want a revival. No, I want you all to come up to me and go, when was the last time you were in a service like that? But most people are just feed up with what? Themselves. Why? Because they're carnal.
Amen.
Worldly.
Amen.
They don't want the spiritual blessings. It might cost us something. 1 John, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. You know what Lanny said to me? Lanny came up to me. We were in the pole barn. He preached your graduation, didn't he? Pastor Matt's high school graduation. I was driving down the road. How many people were in the pole barn when you graduated, do you think? 50 people or something? You can't remember? Something like that. But it was Mike Cronk got saved that week, didn't he? And Kevin got saved that week. Wow. We were driving down the road, and this is what Lanny said to me. He said, Mike, he said, God is in this place. He said, God is going to bring you people that want this kind of old-time religion. God added Kevin and Lori. God brought the Claires up. Are y'all with me? I'm not changing just because people are worldly. God will bring. He brought, who witnessed, who invited Daniel and Kristen out? God brought them.
Amen.
Don't you like it when he does that?
Yeah, amen.
You can't brag on him.
Yeah.
That flesh is so proud.
Yeah.
I just want to give a testimony. I'm so glad that person got saved because I witnessed to him. Help me here. Yeah, I want to share the glory with God, but I'm in verse number 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what? And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in what? We what? And do not. That's dishonoring hypocrisy. You say you're walking with them, but you're walking in darkness, so you're lying. That's carnality. The carnal man says one thing, but does another. You know what? The carnal person, their work does not correspond to what they say. Really, you know what a carnal man does, carnal woman does? They live like a lost person. How's a lost person live? They live without respect to the Word of God. Right? I thought that was supposed to be our final authority. With that Bible teaching how wicked and how evil this world is, with that Bible teaching that you yoke up with the world, that you're at enmity with God, why would you want to be worldly? Are you with me? Wasn't it great in here Sunday night?
Amen.
Why was that? The Holy Ghost had liberty to move around. And you people are not locked in love with your money. And God nudges you, you're going to give it away. That's a good thing. But we have to guard that. What did the songwriter say? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. I don't want to wander. I don't want to compromise. I don't want to drift away. I don't want to cave into this flesh of mine. As soon as I cave into the flesh, I will want to yoke up with that world. And we'll have no touch of God around here. It's the last days. They say you can't do this. You can't preach like this. You can't hold the standard that high in the school and in the youth group and in all that stuff. You can't do that and have God's blessings. Well, they're wrong. I am not looking for hundreds. I have said this before. You study war, and sometimes it was those small platoons that did the most damage to the enemy. You go to those big churches, most of the time it's a group your size that's doing all the work. Well, we just got a church this size, and y'all do the work. I think that's the way it should be. I think everybody should be involved in the work of God. I don't think you ought to just have pew sitters. You with me? Why? Because God has a place. God has a will. we have been blessed. You young people, you have been blessed with some older people that you can look up to. Reliable people. I have people like Brother Kevin. I have people like Timothy. Tim's a young man. And I have people like Daniel Kiefer. And Daniel's really a young man. How old are you? He's only 38. He's a kid. And yet these guys have been studying. They have been praying. You listen to me. If you go off just because everybody else is off, you're not right. Amen. And if you're in town and you're not here, there's something wrong with you. Amen. And I find out about it, I will ream you out publicly. Because these people are taking it very seriously. Amen. And they want to meet with God. Amen. And I appreciate people like that. I have people that are stepping up to play the piano. People that are stepping up to do specials. That is a blessing. Are y'all with me? What do you want? You want the world's philosophy? You want to get in that book? Get God's philosophy. People are going to be having babies. What do you want your children brought up in? Dead religion? Or spirit of revival? Where there's a touch of God. And those kids are drawn to the Lord. And the only thing they know is the things of God. That's what I want. That's what I'm praying for. But there's a cost. You got to put that flesh down. That flesh doesn't like it, does it? Some of your flesh is giving you a hard time right now. Let's pray.